It's now time for the Lawrence Business Magazine show on 1320 KLWN, and here is your host, Anne Frame Herzog.
Thank you, John, and welcome to the Lawrence Business Magazine, where we have in-depth conversations to follow up on articles and explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. Today, I'm pleased to have Mr. Steve Wilson from the City Wine Market. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Good morning.
Good morning. So I want to talk about the wine business and how you guys work and all the things I see your name on, too, in the community, some of the things you're working with in the community. But I want to talk about your history first. Let's talk a little bit about Steve and your partner a little bit.
Sure.
And how you came to be in Lawrence, what your history with Lawrence, and then how you came to have the store.
Absolutely. I actually came to Lawrence the way many people do. My parents they're now retired, but they were both professors at KU. So I came to Lawrence in the mid-80s as a high school student. Finished up at Lawrence High. Went to KU. Met my wife. Didn't really see ourselves as having the ability to leave Lawrence because it really was it's a great community.
So what did you study at KU?
I majored in journalism and political science,
okay.
Very, very useful in the wine business.
Well, know a little bit of the politics is probably good.
Absolutely.
So you didn't leave Lawrence. Your wife is a Lawrencean too.
Actually, she grew up in Salina.
Salina, okay. She's a Kansan, but
she is.
And I moved to Lawrence. Now, so then it's your history. But you didn't start. So at after you get out of college, you didn't start in the wine business. What'd you do?
No, I actually worked for Johnson County government for a while. I worked in with some investment projects and real estate, but it really was kind of the late 90s. I mean, wine had always been a hobby. I did grow up in Arizona, and my father is a chemist and spent a lot of time working collaborating with universities in California. So we were often in California, mm-hmm. and at times even in wine country. So, and my mom loves to cook. So that kind of world.
So you kind of had a familiarity.
Absolutely,
it kind of
felt
comfortable to you.
Yep. Well, and then in the summertime, often my parents would do work in Europe. And so we would go and stay with families there, and so the European lifestyle mm-hmm. became very, very. I became very comfortable with that. I like spending a long time eating and drinking and hanging out with friends and that. So that was kind of built in, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you had this kind of wine culture, which obviously the European culture of having the longer dinners, mm-hmm. the family meals, and having a glass of wine with meals in Italy and France, and it's very...
Sure. Wine is a condiment.
Yeah.
I mean, it just shows up on the table, you know.
And a lot of people make their local wines in the different
absolutely.
Areas. It's very regional.
Yeah.
So you're working in Johnson County. So how did you... So then what did you do after that? You'd worked in Johnson County, or then you were doing other things, so you kind of had this... love for wine. You started developing your taste buds then and stuff, I assume, as you got old enough to...
Well, I always drank wine. in 2000, 2001, mm-hmm. I had a restaurant downtown called Prairie Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, wine became, because we sold a lot of
okay,
wine.
Okay, whoa. Mm-hmm. You skipped a whole step here. So you had a restaurant. So you went
yes.
from political science and government to investments, and then, so you're skipping a whole step.
Well, the investment
the
way the investment I was part of an investment group, and actually the building that I had Prairie Fire in was part of our portfolio.
Okay.
So that kind of became the next
okay,
so. The next lily pad, as it were. and so having that building, I thought, you know, this is something I've wanted to do for a long time, so we opened the restaurant.
So you say, so you'd mm-hmm. kind of always had the urge to open a restaurant, mm-hmm. because you said your mom liked to cook. And
oh, yeah.
Now, were you a cook, or were you more of the front person?
Yeah, no, my mom and grandma taught me how to cook.
So you're
at
the,
early
you're
age,
the
so
chef. Then.
I loved cooking. Yeah,
oh, awesome.
Absolutely.
So you have so you have this restaurant now.
Mm-hmm.
So you're then, now.
So now I'm knee-deep in wine. it, it was, you know, that really became kind of what I truly loved about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wine and food and kind of selling that experience, that's really what made me happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so after I closed my restaurant, I did go into Kansas City, Missouri. I mean, I still live in Lawrence, but I did work in Kansas City, Missouri,
mm-hmm.
And worked for primarily specialty wine stores.
Okay.
One in Parkville. Spent about four and a half years at a great store down on the crossroads called Cellarat Wine Merchants.
Mm-hmm. I know Cellarat, Yeah,
so the owner's mm-hmm. a good friend and somebody I actually met while I was running my restaurant.
Okay.
So, but that was really where it all kind of came together.
So kind of working with the different things and mm-hmm. yeah, because actually your place has a little bit of a cellar rat quality to it.
Absolutely. Well, and you know what the reason that we elected to, I mean, my business partner Jamie Rutledge and I were both working on the Missouri side. He was actually working just down the street. He was the wine director for Michael Smith and
okay.
Extra Virgin, two restaurants in the Crossroads. And I lost track of what I was saying.
Well, you guys were talking about, well, we were just talking about the, with the wine, and just like kind of having the feel.
Sorry. Back on track.
That's all right.
The reason that we were selling retail in Missouri was largely because you could taste.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to sample wine and then what I spent a lot of time doing for Cellarat was teaching wine education classes.
Okay.
Which if you are allowed to taste in the store, it certainly makes teaching classes on wine a little easier.
Yes.
That was really the draw to, mm-hmm. to Missouri. Jamie and I were college roommates. I've known him for a long time. And we both were residing in Lawrence, but driving into Missouri. And it just became the point where we were tired of the drive and, mm-hmm. and really wanted to hang out our shingle in Lawrence.
So when did you do that?
2010.
Okay.
July of 2010, we opened City Wine Market.
Okay.
And it's been a great ride.
But that's opening a wine store in Lawrence. So that must be a little bit. So what when you guys decided, okay, we want to start this business. Mm-hmm. So how did you go about that? I mean, how did you find your location? I mean, what did you guys decide? What kind of factors did you take into account when you decided to find?
Well, we did try to kind of distill what.
No pun intended.
Yeah, right. tried to distill kind of what, you know, what was the essence of what we were about,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, for Jamie and really for where I was selling wine as well, it was about service.
Mm-hmm.
It was about, you know, using the experience that we'd had. And I should also say, I mean, during from 2002 to 2010, Jamie and I actually did spend a fair amount of time studying wine in California.
Mm-hmm.
The Culinary Institute of America has a great wine program.
Good and restaurant,
so
too.
They do. Well, and actually, if you participate in the wine program, that's where your lunch is. So it's not a bad school cafeteria, mm-hmm. as it were.
Not at all.
We spent our time learning about mm-hmm. wine and learning kind of really how to dial in on what people want when they mm-hmm. purchase it. And so, in building our business model, I mean that was really the component. I mean we did envision having more than just two employees. I mean mm-hmm. right now it's just Jamie and me.
Mm-hmm.
But that really was, you know, what we were selling was going to be ourselves, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
With that as kind of the base, we wanted to have a footprint that was smaller than some. Jamie and I both spent some time in a store in Missouri that literally has more than a football field worth of inventory. It was just, I mean, it was impossible to keep track of product. We certainly didn't have the knowledge to accurately describe each and every product in that store. In fact, there were many times where we discovered things we had no idea were even there.
Oh, we carry that?
I had no idea. Awesome. So we wanted a store that was more like, I mean, we chose the word market because, a market is a place where you go, and that day, they might have gotten in some fish or, fresh produce. And that's what's fresh that day. Might not be fresh the next day. There might be something different the next day. And so we wanted a fairly small footprint that we would manage and turn over fairly regularly. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't really fall in love with, a lot of people say, don't fall in love with the wine, sell the wine. There's a lot of good product out there. Mm-hmm. And so we don't really, we're always looking for new things.
I think that's great. Now, one of the things when you're saying that about educating, about your store is, it sounds like you were basically educating yourself so that you could educate others about
Well,
the wine.
I mean, wine is, I mean, at its simplest form, it's just a beverage, that you enjoy. But it really is. I mean, you can absolutely spend the rest of your life breaking all of that down. I mean, wine. I remember one of the classes that we took at the Kony Institute. There was a graphic on the PowerPoint that broke wine down into about 10 different disciplines.
Okay.
From engineering to law to economics to biology. It really, when you see all of the subsets of the wine industry, it's immense. I mean, everything from figuring out how to grow the grapes to what sort of graphic design you're going to put on that label to make it attractive to somebody. Mm-hmm. So I mean, the people, I mean, the it's a cast of thousands.
Yes.
And so but to really understand how everything occurs, we wanted to kind of dissect that. And so we spent a lot of time learning about wine chemistry, learning about the wine regions of the world, how grapes grow, how wine is made, what makes good wine, what conditions are required to make good wine, and break that down.
Well, that sounds good. When we come back after this break, I want to talk to you about good wine versus bad wine, and some of the ways of how to select that wine.
Right here on the News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
Hi, I'm Mike Amix, candidate for city commissioner. It's been an honor and a privilege to be your city commissioner for the past 8 years. In fact, I've been your city commissioner for 13 of the past 30 years, and I was county commissioner for 5 of those years, so I have a good understanding of what makes City Hall tick and what ticks you off. I pride myself on being accessible and having common sense. I would appreciate your vote on April 2nd.
Paid for by Amix for City Commission, Chuck Fisher, Treasurer.
City Wine Market, a wine shop for the overwhelmed. Hey, shopping for wine can be a relaxing and enjoyable experience. Really, it can be. Yet according to a recent national survey, 1/3 of all wine shoppers describe their average experience as overwhelming. 1/3. That's why City Wine Market is different. While they do maintain a choice selection of craft beer and spirits, they choose to focus on what they know the best, wine and the wine drinker. Visit them today west of Dillon's on the southeast corner of 6th and Wakarusa and sign up for their monthly wine club, citywinemarket.com.
Ray-Ban Eyewear embraces the never-hide attitude, a commitment to independence born in America. The spectacle, the place to discover the hottest, the freshest, and the largest selection of Ray-Ban Eyewear in Lawrence and Topeka. From classic to contemporary, the spectacle and Ray-Ban take never-hide to another level. The spectacle, where service, selection, and satisfaction never hide. Come in now to receive 50% off your lenses and your new Ray-Ban Eyewear. The spectacle and Dr. Kevin Linehan, voted best optometrist in Lawrence and Topeka.
Swoosh. My broom's all working overtime. I'm sweeping the streets, highways, and byways of Northeast Kansas to rid the area of old clunkers so you can drive a nicer, newer car today. Hey, Lonnie Blackburn here from Academy Cars. Right now, I'll give you up to $4,343 over appraised value for your old car, even if you're still making payments. Busted, rusted, or feeling disgusted? Trade up and clean up today. Drive a 2010 Toyota Camry just $187 per month. My sweeping is a keeping the bankers from a-sleeping. My For the People credit approval process gives my bankers and my lenders more opportunity to help good folks like you. Even if your credit's a mess, wave goodbye to that old car you're stuck in and say hello to a bright, shiny, nicer, newer car. Let's sweep the streets and let's clean up the clunkers. I'll give you up to $4,343 over appraised value for your old car. Once I get rid of 61 cars, this makeover is over. I'm Lonnie Blackburn, and I'm a dealer for the people in lovely Lawrence, Kansas. Online, academycars.com, or call me at 785-841-0102, Academy Cars. Cars Bank approval. Stock number 5147. 2010
Toyota Camry. 500 down. 187 per month. 2.99% APR. 75 months. My name is Dr. Terry Reardon. I am a local pediatrician running for the Lawrence City Commission. Over the course of the last several months, I've been listening to the heartbeat of our community and taking Lawrence's pulse. What I've heard is a desire for stronger schools and neighborhoods, jobs that can support families, and improved infrastructure maintenance. And if you vote for me, Dr. Terry Reardon, on Tuesday, April 2nd, that's exactly what you'll get.
Paid for by Terry Reardon for City Commission. Luann Wilcox, Treasurer.
The News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
924, let's continue with the Lawrence Business Magazine show. And once again, here is your host, Ann Frame Herzog.
Thank you. I'm here with Steve Wilson from City Wine Market. And before we left, we're kind of talking about some of the components of wine. And I think when he was talking, it was a little bit about why he likes wine, because it's got so many different components and different levels. And what I'd like to do is talk a little bit now when we were like, talk about good wine versus bad wine. Because I've heard the saying that there's no bad wine. And I've had some really bad wine.
There is bad wine. No, there is. There is. I will say, though, I mean, wine is such a personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in the store, we choose not to use the typical point scores.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from the fact that they really are just shameless advertising, they are absolutely, you know, created to sell wine and not to make better wine consumers. But, wine is so personal. I mean, the analogy I always use is, you know, if you hate fish, do you care if it's fresh?
Right.
I mean, so this might be a 100-point wine, but mm-hmm. you hate Cabernet. So if you don't know that you really don't like Cabernet, you're not going to like that mm-hmm. wine, even though somebody came up with the idea that it was a perfect wine, whatever that is. I don't actually know what a perfect wine is.
Mm-hmm.
The difference, I mean, good wine and bad wine. And a lot of this may be my own personal beliefs, but...
Well, you run the... it's your store.
Right. Well, I believe, I mean, in a general sense, wine should be balanced. So when you taste it, it should have, I guess... You know, if you took the bubbles out of Coke, mm-hmm. it might not taste awful, but the palate, yeah, well, the palate would say this is off, this
yeah.
is out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
So a wine should be balanced. The sugars, the acids, the tannins, the mm-hmm. the dryness factor, if it's a red wine, those should all kind of be in their proper place.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I think a wine should be interesting. Technology has allowed us to make wine that is not hideous. I mean, you don't want to like rinse your mouth out with a dirty ashtray just to get the taste out. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's not something like that, because chemistry's allowed us to perfect making wine. But there's a lot of wine out there that really is entirely benefiting from chemistry. I mean, if you have, you know, there's some relatively inexpensive wines that come from vineyards that are literally thousands of acres.
Mm-hmm.
If you were trying to get every single tomato in the back of your yard to taste not just similar but identical, that would be a challenge. And the only way you could really do that mm-hmm. is by putting them all into one container and then adding the things that make it seem more balanced. And I mean, there's a product in the wine market. Actually, it's made by one of the largest bulk wine producers, but it's called Mega Purple, And when a wine doesn't have, they've done studies, and obviously people have more favorable responses to, with red wine, more favorable responses to the darker colored wines.
Mm-hmm. They're prettier.
They're prettier. Well, and they give they present the idea that a darker wine is going to be, you know, more rich, maybe have a deeper flavor, and actually color development and flavor development in winemaking occur independently. So it's really not, they're not connected. But this large company believes that that's an important thing. So they created this product called Mega Purple, which is a grape extract. They use grapes that have intensely dark skins. They refine that out. They don't have to tell you they've added Mega Purple because, of course, it's grape.
It's grapes.
So they can take a wine that looks like a rosé and turn it into something that's inky dark by adding Mega Purple. Now, I would say that, you know, while that's a fine wine, and you know, most, you probably, I mean, unless you know what you're looking for, you might not even know that it's been adjusted. But, you know, nature, when nature has, you know, is doing its job, it actually does all of that perfectly, better than any human can do. It integrates everything seamlessly. And so I would argue that a good wine is interesting in the fact that nature created it, not a chemist.
Mm-hmm.
And so what makes, you know, bad, like I said, bad wines. I mean, I remember having some wine on an airplane one time that really, I mean, I almost had to get up from my seat and go into the bathroom because it was like drinking paint thinner. And we don't see as much of that anymore. But you know, when you find a wine that where everything seems to be working and you taste multiple things when you taste it, smells of multiple things. You know, that's nature's chemistry giving you an experience, and there should be, you know, a respect for that.
Well, that's one of the things too we were talking about off the air is the experience too. When we were my husband Stephen he loves wine, and I was telling Steve Wilson here that I liked wine, but when I started, when Steve and I got together, I really learned to enjoy wine because he has a very wide taste of wine. He loves Pinots. He loves Chardonnays. I mean, he likes lots of different kinds. And he would always say that won't drink cheap wines, but he will drink inexpensive wines.
Absolutely.
So
Well, and that, you know, when we set up the store, I mean, one of the things that Jamie and I noticed over time was that, you know, some of the most memorable wines that we would have were not necessarily the most expensive, you know, rarest bottles. I mean, we've had bottles that exceed $1,000 a bottle, and they're tasty. They're good.
Make no mistake,
they're great wine. Would I personally open my wallet for $1,000 for that wine? I wouldn't.
It's nice when somebody else does.
Right. It's always nice when somebody else does. I won't turn it away. But at the same time, I mean, the wines that kind of stick in our mind were those $15 and $20 bottles that drank, you know, maybe like $50 or $100 bottles. Mm-hmm. I mean, where they really, really outperformed. They were truly gems. And so what we, you know, do in our store is, I mean, most of our inventory is under $25. Mm-hmm. I mean, for the most part, we focus on between $10 and $25. We certainly find wines that are under 10 that really do outperform. But, you know, kind of the way we typically will vet wines, or we taste 95% of what comes into the store before we bite on it. We want to know exactly what it tastes like. And so, when we bring in a wine, if it's a $10 bottle that drinks like a $10 bottle, that's a fine wine.
Mm-hmm.
But what we want is a $10 bottle that drinks like a $15 or a $20.
Yeah.
And so if it just performs at what our expectations were, we might bring it in, we might not. But what we're looking for are those wines that we would pay more for. You know, when we taste it and we write down, you know, what we think it costs, because usually we don't want to know what it costs before
you taste it.
Because there are times where we'll taste bottles that are $50 bottles and we'll write down, you know, $19.99, and they're like, yeah, that's not even your cost. And it's like, well, we don't need to talk about that one anymore. Next, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if we think a bottle is going to be a $50 bottle, drinks like a $20, and there are all sorts
that's
of reasons.
That's not probably a good investment.
Well, though. I mean, the thing is, there are all sorts of reasons why that might be. Mm-hmm. I mean, if California, for example, you know, in the late 90s, the price of land skyrocketed. I mean, you know, gosh, there was property that you could purchase in Napa for $1,000 an acre, you know, in the 80s, which is a painful thought, because today that same land might go for over $100,000 an acre. And so if you set up your winery, at the peak of the land market, your costs already are fairly high, you know, and then you plant your vineyards, and most, you know, premium vineyards, nobody's going to be using grapes on a premium vineyard for between 4 to 5 years. The first crop usually comes maybe year three, and that's going to be sold off to the mm-hmm. bulk market in most cases. So year five,
when you can really start creating your own wine.
Yeah, year five, the grapes have finally gotten to the point where they're producing decent quality grapes, and actually, what you really want is much older than 5 years. I mean, there are vineyards. We get some wines from Spain where the vineyards. Well, actually, an example. We have a wine, a Zinfandel from California, and the vineyard was planted in 1908.
That's amazing, isn't it?
It's still producing grapes.
They're grafting on those vines, aren't they?
Actually, no. These are original vines.
Wow, that's impressive.
Not all vines. Many wines. Mm-hmm. Vines rather do not. Really age well.
Mm-hmm.
Cabernet usually sees about a 20 to 25 year life cycle, and then they're torn out and replanted. But certain vines, and Zinfandel is one of them, actually improve with age. I mean, the quality goes up and the quantity goes down.
I love Zinfandel.
Oh, Zinfandel. I mean, think about all of the history that this 1908 vine in Sonoma has seen.
It's when my grandmother was born.
Yeah. I mean, that's
amazing.
Right. Mm-hmm. And to be able to taste a wine, and then this particular Zin, because it is mm-hmm. that old, you know, the amount of fruit that is, you know, gotten from that vineyard is fairly small. So this wine is maybe a $30 bottle, but for $30, you can drink an antique, mm-hmm. You know, and that's pretty cool.
That is very cool. And one of the things, too, you were talking about and that's what I think it makes wine so different about than some other drinks. I mean, yeah, beer you can share and stuff like that, but wine is such a social, to me, drink. Of like, mm-hmm. It's like when you remember those great bottles of wine, it's you had a great dinner with some wonderful friends or somebody from out of town, you opened a wine, and you remember those wines. It's a very communal experience. I mean, you don't drink a bottle by yourself
and
enjoy it.
And that's exactly the way it's intended. You know, I mean, wine is something that is supposed to, you know, it really is one of life's, you know, simple pleasures. And I should also say I love craft beer as well. So
I
beer,
do too.
craft beer and wine really are just, I don't know if they're siblings, but they're certainly cousins.
Well, we definitely have some good craft beer makers.
Absolutely.
In this town. So
we do.
I have a couple
we do.
Of my favorite beers here. What I wanted to do, too, is when you talk about, you know, from Spain and California, so how do you, where do you buy, get your wines, and how do you decide, because I know there's a lot of places like, you know, Portugal, Spain, mm-hmm. down in South America, and Chilean wines, mm-hmm. you know, how do you just, and even in now in Australia, and stuff, you're getting wines from all over, how do you decide, where do you go to buy your wines, how do you get them, and how do you kind of get that balance?
Well, Kansas is what's referred to as a three-tier state. So product has to be brought into the state and licensed by a supplier.
Okay.
It has to be licensed to a distributor. There are, and I apologize if I'm leaving people out, but there are between 8 and 10,
mm-hmm.
maybe a few more, at least 8 that we deal with. distributors in the state.
Okay.
And so I can only buy what they choose to bring in. Now, we have certain distributors that will actually bring in product for us. They will.
So if you taste a wine in California someplace, and you say, can you bring this in for me?
Well, as a funny example, we have a monthly wine club, mm-hmm. much the way wineries do.
Right.
So every month we select wines, and you know, our club members take those home. Several months back, we had a cold call from a gentleman, had a thick French accent, and was, you know, said he had some wines to sell and needed to find a distributor, and could we recommend one? And so we did, a month later, this distributor showed up in our office with sample bottles from this winery. And as it turned out, the gentleman on the phone was the son of the winery owners. Small little winery in the south of France. Really, really, I mean, established in the 40s. I mean, so it's got a long history, and really, really tasty stuff. And so, I mean,
how did they get your number?
I have no idea. Actually, I don't. I mean, we get a lot of odd calls, but
that's a pretty rumor south of France.
Yeah,
it's a kind of a.
Well, his name is Brees.
Uh-huh.
And actually, it's kind of funny. We couldn't understand what he was saying. He said, "In the United States, you say Bryce," and it was like, "Oh, Bryce, okay." So, Brees had some wines. He distributes them throughout mm-hmm. the United States. I mean, he is stateside, but we never would have come across these wines otherwise. And we bought up the entire supply. And our wine club will enjoy those this month. Unfortunately, we don't have much to sell because it was a very small production. Mm-hmm. But
those are always fun.
Well, and I mean, this, you know, mm-hmm. for our perspective, you know, going back to that this should be interesting. I mean, I should say also, a good wine always has a story. If mm-hmm. it doesn't have a story, if it was made in a factory in Modesto, that's not a story, you know. But this has a story. So you can open this mm-hmm. bottle, and you can share the story, and you can commune with your friends and have dinner. I mean, that's what wine is about. I mean, it really is about kind of acting as a facilitator for some other experience, usually with other people.
Well, that's when you come back, I want to talk a little bit about then, you know, you talked about your monthly wine club. So I want to talk mm-hmm. about your business now and how we know getting wines in and how you do business in Lawrence.
Sure.
Right here on the News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
Morning low was 36. We're mostly sunny, light east breeze 60 this afternoon. Clouds increasing, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms after midnight tonight. Low 40, mostly cloudy 62 tomorrow. 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms again tomorrow night. From the 1320 KLWN Weather Center, I'm meteorologist John Weatherby.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Farmer, and I'm running for the Lawrence City Commission. As CEO of Just Food, I'm committed to improving the lives of low-income families in our community. I'll be an advocate for your family, too. I grew up here. We're better together than we are apart. This is Lawrence. We take care of each other. I've worked hard at creating programs that go beyond putting food on tables. I've done this by bringing diverse constituents together. I'm proud of the partnerships I've formed, and I intend to bring that kind of strong leadership to City Hall. Please vote yourself a farmer on April 2nd.
Paid for by Jeremy Farmer for City Commission. John Bullock, Treasurer.
Looking good and feeling great has never been easier. Right now at the Tan Company, new customers can tan for a week for only $4. Their new Mass Street location downtown is really close with the best parking on Mass from our rear entrance. The Tan Company is always super clean and the staff really knows their stuff. Ask for your coupon. Good for a week of tanning for just $4. Now at the Tan Company, 831 Mass Street downtown and in Overland Park at 137th and Metcalf. The Tan Company, where America tans.
Pizza Shuttle always has the best deals on hot and fresh tasty pizza in Lawrence. When you need to satisfy your hunger with the classic taste and affordability of Pizza Shuttle, call now and get a threefer. Three one-topping pizzas and three drinks for only $14.75. Or a twofer. Two two-topping pizzas and two drinks for only $11.25. Or the Big Bird, which is two 14-inch pizzas hot and fresh and tasty for only $13.50.
Call 842-1212. Call us now, Pizza Shuttle.
Ray-Ban Eyewear embraces the never-hide attitude, a commitment to independence born in America. The spectacle, the place to discover the hottest, the freshest, and the largest selection of Ray-Ban Eyewear in Lawrence and Topeka. From classic to contemporary, the spectacle and Ray-Ban take never-hide to another level. The spectacle, where service, selection, and satisfaction never hide. Come in now to receive 50% off your lenses and your new Ray-Ban Eyewear. The spectacle and Dr. Kevin Linehan. Voted best optometrist in Lawrence and Topeka.
Get ready for ES Lighting's annual showroom sales event. An incredible evening of savings with 50% off the entire showroom of fixtures, lamps, mirrors, accessories, and more. ES Lighting will open their doors from 5 to 8 p.m. only for this once-a-year showroom sale Thursday, April 4th. Enjoy refreshments and a complimentary chair massage. It's our way of saying thanks. See you April 4th from 5 to 8 p.m. at ES Lighting, 724 Connecticut in Lawrence, and online at eslightingshop.com. Lighting the way since 1964.
You have worked hard to earn the money to provide for your future. You need an investment advisor who works hard to make sure you keep it and make it grow. More and more people like you choose the Douglas County Bank Trust Department as an independent investment manager for their portfolios of cash, stocks, bonds, and mutual funds held in various accounts, including IRAs. Mike Davies, Michael Carlisle, and Deborah Barnhart use investment sources and products with top performance and competitive low fees to meet your goals. Douglas County Bank, investing in our community, one customer at a time.
Briggs Subaru in the Lawrence Auto Plaza is proud to announce the all-new 2014 Subaru Forester is in stock now and ready to drive. Come in now and see all the new state-of-the-art body styling, the benefits of 32 miles per gallon, and all-wheel drive. Subaru has exceeded their reputation for excellence with the all-new 2014 Subaru Forester. The all-new 2014 Forester is cutting-edge innovation and available now at Briggs Subaru in the Lawrence Auto Plaza during the Subaru Love Spring event. Going on now, Subaru, confidence in motion.
The news and talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
It is 9:45, 1320 KLWN. Let's continue with the Lawrence Business Magazine show, and once again, Anne Frame Herzog.
I'm here with Steve Wilson from City Wine Market, and I just want to let our listeners know that the Lawrence Business Magazine is published quarterly and available at local Hy-Vees, the Merck, and other convenient merchants around town. And you can also pick up a copy of the Lawrence Business Magazine in front of Milton's and the Eldridge downtown in our new outdoor boxes. I guess it's a former Milton's. I have to remember the new name. It's also available online at lawrencebusinessmagazine.com. And you can find us on Facebook, where you can find out updates and information on the radio show and magazine. We'd love to get your comments and questions, but in our effort to encourage an open dialogue, we ask that you put your name on it. So in our Steve, in our break here, we were talking wine because I enjoy wine. We were talking about your Zins and rosés and stuff, and I was telling Steve that I'm not a big rosé fan, but you were telling me that there's like a few rosés out there that would change my mind.
Well, you know, rosés are liken them to tomatoes. Rosés are something that you should enjoy when they're really fresh, and probably enjoy through the spring and summer. And then you kind of put them away and you wait for the next vintage. But rosé is a wine made from red grapes, but instead of leaving the juice in contact with the skins to impart dark color, which, I mean, that's how a red wine would be made, they remove the skins fairly quickly. So it just kind of gives a little tinge of red, but rosés are usually a fairly recent vintage. They are just kind of pure expressions of usually berries, strawberries, raspberries, cherries, water, a little bit of watermelon at times, but totally dry in most cases. Mm-hmm. I mean, outside of White Zinfandel, which ironically was discovered while they were attempting to make a dry rosé. It was not intended to have as much sugar as was left in the wine, but no, rosés are great. They're very food friendly. They're not overly complex. They should just be fun, and great with picnic foods, particularly ham. Delicious with ham. Easter, yeah. Actually, rosés are spectacular Easter wines.
Easter wine. Okay.
Yeah.
Your rosé. So you have. Let's talk a little bit about that. So the rosé, is this something that you would put in your wine club?
We do.
So how does your wine? So tell me about your wine club.
Because
I think because having spent a couple times up in Sonoma and stuff like in Napa, you know, they do a lot of wine clubs. And I think that this is a really interesting thing that you guys do and how you kind of use it to help educate different people and kind of maybe engage people's palates in a new way.
Well, the wine club, I mean, admittedly, we use it just the way the wineries do. The wineries are using that to showcase certain things, to get people out of their box. I mean, there are times where if a winery only makes, say, Cabernet, that when you get your wine club shipment, it's, well, surprise, it's Cab. but you know, what we want to use the wine club for is to expose people to things that maybe they wouldn't buy themselves. You know, get them out of their comfort zone, and then try to connect them with the place. So when the way we select wines for our wine club, and we taste through a ton of stuff. I mean, I would say in a given month, we probably sample between 50 and 75 different wines, and so we'll look for wines again that are interesting, that have a story, and then we want to tell that story. So if we have, you know, if we're focusing on a small winery in, you know, Mendocino, California, Northern mm-hmm. California, we want people to know why we picked that wine. What's special about this? Well, you know, they've been in the business for a long time. They're Italian immigrants. They own all their own property. They hand pick. I mean, all of the little details honestly, you know, at the end of the day, it's just about whether the wine is a good wine or not. But there are certain things that do actually, you know, encourage good wine, you know, to be made. Mm-hmm. And so we like to highlight those things. So the wine club, yeah, I mean, it's 2 to 3 bottles a month. There's always a theme. Sometimes we'll focus on a region. Other times we'll actually focus on a specific winery. Sometimes mm-hmm. we'll focus on a varietal. I mean, you know, say we actually, one month we did Merlot, because mm-hmm. Merlot kind of has a bad reputation. So we found 3 dramatically different bottlings of Merlot and sent them out. And people came back and said, you know what? I had no idea that I liked Merlot. Mm-hmm. And, well, surprisingly, you know, there's a lot of bad Merlot. Merlot, the problem with Merlot is, mm-hmm. is and this kind of goes back to, you know, studying how grapes are grown. Merlot has some very, very specific growing conditions. And it's also a late ripening grape. So if it doesn't have perfect conditions, it's not very good. Mm-hmm. But when it's grown in the right place, I mean, for example, Merlot from Columbia Valley, Washington, in some cases, there is absolutely no way somebody could tell the difference between a Merlot from Washington and a Cab from Washington, or even a Cab from Napa. I mean, there are some big, powerful, complex, inky Merlots that are being made. There's also some very thin, watery stuff mm-hmm. that we try to bypass.
Now, do you sell more domestic wines or international wines?
Again, we're looking for value, and there are certain things that will affect the wholesale pricing of a wine. So, you know, as much as we love California wines, it is increasingly hard to find.
They can be really expensive.
Right, absolutely. It's harder. It's getting harder and harder to find good mm-hmm. values from California. And again, a good value in our mind is something that exceeds the price. Mm-hmm. You know, has a good price to quality ratio,
right,
in the favor of the consumer. So we're looking for places where, you know, if we can find a region that, you know, where, well, I guess the way to explain it would be, you know, it would be possible to grow grow oranges for the production of orange juice in Michigan, say. Mm-hmm. But you might have to grow them in a greenhouse, and it would be really expensive. You go to South Florida, and the quality is high, and the great, you know, they grow in a ditch almost, you know. So if we can find a region where the grapes thrive, and they do their best work, and then find a winery that, say, doesn't have a huge marketing budget, you know. So the quality's there, the costs are low, we'll bite on that all day. And Spain mm-hmm. offers up a lot of really good values. Surprisingly, France and Italy still have some good values to be mm-hmm. had. Australia's kind of in a funk right now. I think they may have shot themselves in the foot by focusing so much on that, you know, $6 and under bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Yellowtail, I mean, Yellowtail actually posted a huge loss. In fact, their bankers came to them and had a very serious, frank conversation with them a couple months back. You know, there are certain countries mm-hmm. that are having, you know, kind of trying to figure out who they are. Argentina and Chile still provide a lot of good values.
Mm-hmm.
Portugal, I think Portugal is probably going to be, you know, maybe the next Spain as far as quality. I mean, we're seeing, because they share a lot of the same growing conditions.
Yes.
And we're seeing a lot of really good mm-hmm. stuff coming from Portugal. I mean, it really, you know, it's
what about South Africa? Don't they have some wines down there now?
South Africa does. The problem, and as I said before, mm-hmm. we are limited uh-huh. to only buying those wines that a mm-hmm. Kansas distributor has elected to bring in. And South African wines right now, there's a pretty large inconsistency with quality.
Okay.
One vintage might be good, the other vintage might be horrid.
So it's hard to pick an area.
South Africa, yeah. And South mm-hmm. Africa has a history. You know, I mean, during apartheid, most of the wines were made by government-run cooperatives. Mm-hmm. And cooperatives in some cases are fine. In other cases, that's just a nice word of, you know, an industrialized wine. you know, so... Mm-hmm. You know, during apartheid, the good grape growers had their stuff mixed in with the bad grape growers, and nobody mm-hmm. knew that there was any good in it. So right now, I mean, we'll kind of there are a couple wines from South Africa that we like, but the market has not really brought in the things. Mm-hmm. I mean, the estate, the family owned, estate grown
yeah.
things are not available. They were probably more plentiful in Missouri, but at the moment, South Africa is kind of
off the radar.
Waiting
to see what
yeah,
happens.
Yeah, we're kind of waiting
years.
To see yeah. on that. Yeah.
Well, when you're like in the community here, now you guys have been around since 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I've seen your name on a few things. I know that you help sponsor stuff. How do you decide? I mean, what is important to you guys as you know, being business owners mm-hmm. here in Lawrence? What's important to you?
Well, you know, many businesses in Lawrence, but probably any liquor store in Lawrence knows this problem. I mean, we get a lot of requests for donations. I mean, several a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so early on, we kind of decided, you know, because we can't, you know, assist every organization, we're going to focus on some things. And so, and we thought about what we really, you know, appreciate in Lawrence community. Jamie's girlfriend is a teacher. And my parents are both teachers. So education is something we always do stuff with the Lawrence Schools Foundation. The mission that we've had is kind of we focus on primarily community-based arts organizations. So we do a lot with the Lawrence Arts Center.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
one of my favorite places.
There are very few requests that uh-huh. they will make that we won't oblige.
Oh, do they know you might gotten yourself into trouble with that?
No,
they know that.
Yeah, no,
they aren't afraid to ask.
No, they're not afraid to ask, and you know, mm-hmm. if it at all possible, we will oblige. Last year we participated in the Van Gogh Bench program,
mm-hmm.
Which. Van Gogh Arts is an
it's
amazing
too,
I mean, that really is. I mean, it was just a cool project to be involved mm-hmm. with. I mean, to our student artist, I mean, really great kid and did an excellent job. And just everything about that organization I was really impressed. It was fun to be involved with. But I would say for the most part, I mean, organizations that community-based arts, preferably with an educational mission,
mm-hmm.
Those are really, I mean, that's really where we focus our efforts. Because, I mean, we, yeah. you know, it's also, unfortunately, arts and education are two things that are seeing less support from
yes,
Topeka.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the needs to maintain those are pretty great right now.
And the community, I think, values those, so it's nice that
Lawrence is an art
like
community.
Yourself and you stepping
yeah.
up to the plate.
Yeah.
And I know that it's, you know, you have been around since 2010, but you're still a very young company.
Oh, so. we're babies. Yeah, absolutely.
So having that and being able to give back a little bit is great, and hopefully you guys continue to grow.
Yeah.
And now and keep your the wine coming in and get some of those additional employees you've been asking them.
The employee issue. I mean, that's because you know that's the unfortunate challenge.
You're
to
a small
us.
Business.
We're a small business, but if you go to the same hairstylist every time, it doesn't really matter if they bring in somebody else. You want to go see them, mm-hmm. you know, and that's kind of what we've kind of boxed ourselves into. We want to be the people our customers come to and don't really want to relinquish that yet. So.
Yeah, well, they've set up a relationship with you. Well, you guys, we got to wrap up here, but I wanted to thank you for being here and helping talk about a little bit about wine and the business that you guys do down there. And, we'll post your site on ours, but I think it's citywinemarket.com.
Is
that correct?
It is.
So people can go there, learn a little bit about it, your hours, and come in and visit you. And
sure.
Hopefully be surprised at a new wine that they might like.
Oh, we're always glad to help.
That'd be great. So thank you. This has been a very informative, interesting hour. Our listeners can get links to your site from our magazine online at lawrencebusinessmagazine.com and like us on Facebook for updates. Each Thursday at 9 a.m., we have in-depth conversations to follow up and explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. Thank you for joining us. And give our regards to your partner.
Absolutely, yeah.
since he's working.
Jamie's covering the store.
Covering the store. Every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. here on KLWN 1320, redefining the concept of business.
This is 1320 KLWN Lawrence.
Hello, it's Adam Ritchie with LED Source in Lawrence. As a business owner like you, I appreciate the importance of reducing costs. LED lighting technology now gives you the opportunity to reduce operating and maintenance costs associated with your lighting. Let me show you the impact that switching to LED lighting